Looking for something to represent your sport, but you don't want to look like another mall rat wannabe? Then head on over to TapperSleep.com. TapperSleep has serious gear for serious fighters and serious fans. While other fightwear companies spend their money on a big bust and funny costumes, TapperSleep spends theirs on their clothes, giving you stylish, durable gear that'll hold up under the toughest conditions. Whether you're rolling on the mats or rolling down the street, TapperSleep has a wide selection of t-shirts, hoodies, and hats for men or women. So head on over to TapperSleep.com right now and get your gear today. TapperSleep. Seriously. Good. Fightwear. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Rear Naked Radio, your weekly MMA review show right here at rearnakedradio.net. I am Paul Scorcher Laporte. With me, as always, Michael
F. Shooter Graham and Derek Irish Kenny. Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Hey.
Hey.
Yo.
I'm good.
Hey. Big show coming up. We got WEC 47, huge WEC card, almost pay-per-view worthy, but fortunately not pay-per-view priced, coming up. That was almost pay-per-view. It's definitely pay-per-view worthy. Coming up this Saturday, March 6th, at the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio. Really, 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 really wish I was going to be there. We'll have the sack to walk through. Walk through it today. We're not going to romp. We're not going to stroll. Just a regular walk. And Shooter was at the Ground and Pound promotion show in somewhere in Michigan. Right?
Granville.
Granville, Michigan. Okay, I don't know Michigan at all. So,
it's basically a part of Grand Rapids. It's like a little suburb of Grand Rapids.
Okay. And Shooter will have a little report on that. And I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of other crap that's going to come up too. Because there always is.
There always is.
Always.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing damn good. I've had quite a weekend.
Kenny?
What?
Kenny's hung himself. Just hear the creaking in the back.
I'm like, how are you guys doing? Plural. And Derek's like,
I'm fine, guys. It's just another beautiful day in paradise.
We're not disturbing you, are we? I mean, I don't want to complain.
Woke him up from his nap.
I don't know. I'm off my game right now.
I don't know either. When have you ever been on your game?
I don't know. That's a good question. Not for this show, that's for sure. I try. I really try. But
yeah, the rest of the time, when we're not talking to him, he's on his game.
That's what we got to do. That's Derek's new tagline. Derek Kenny, he really tries.
I should put that on business cards.
Oh,
his motto, endeavor to persevere.
Derek Kenny, MMA journalist. I really try.
I do great. My best.
I think my writing's pretty good. I'll say that.
Lee, when do you write?
I haven't seen it lately. Yeah. You need to write some more stuff.
Coming from the two guys who have written about a fraction of what I've written.
Coming from the guy who has done a fraction of the radio we've done.
Right, but I was just talking about the writing.
That's you guys right. Are That's writing. Right. Oh, right. Boy.
Pluto, you stupid dog.
What the hell?
Okay. Gosh, the guy could get killed!
What the hell?
Alright,
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the sack. Today is February 28th, 2010. I'm Jeff Shooter Graham. Let's do this. Hey, guess what? Shane Carwin says he thinks Frank Mir is overlooking him. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah.
Bland. That's what I
think. Frank Mir keeps talking about dismembering and killing Brock Lesnar, then apologizing for saying he's going to dismember and kill Brock Lesnar. And to be honest, I really haven't heard Mir come out and say one thing about Carwin. Except
I'm not sure if Mir could be overlooking Carwin anymore if Carwin was actually invisible. Like, if he was completely and utterly transparent, I don't think Frank Mir could overlook him anymore.
No, it's pretty bad.
I really hope Carwin kicks his ass.
Well, guys, you know, Frank Mir's got to keep up his little voodoo shrine of Brock Lesnar's little stalking center in his closet. He's got to keep up.
Lesnar.
Kill Lesnar. this is what Carwin has to say on Mir. I can tell you that any athlete wishing death upon a competitor is either a terrible human being or mentally unfit to fight.
I thought you were going to say is either a terrorist or...
No. Or is mentally unfit
Frank
to
Mir
fight.
Trains with Al-Qaeda for upcoming Carwin fight.
It says that type of talk, and if it ever happened... Out of it, and if it ever happened. Okay, Shane, it did happen.
I think he means if it ever happened with him.
Okay. So we'll take the sport backwards.
Oh.
Frank has been part of the Stone Ages of MMA, and it makes no sense why he would want to make comments that would damage a lot of the good he participated in adding to the sport over the years. He basically says Brock is a heel in the ring, but at home he is a human husband, father, and a friend to many. Wishing him death or harm upon him doesn't serve any purpose. I will do my best to make Frank's dream of fighting Brock come true. Unfortunately for them, it will be a 3-round fight as I plan on winning both of those belts.
Hey, you know, Carwin's been a little annoying in some of the stuff he said in the past, but I think he comes off pretty well there. That's actually not,
oh, he does.
That's
he
not
does.
A bad little soundbite. You know, there's been some times where Carwin's been, you know, especially... when the fight with Lesnar was upcoming, he was, you know, really, like, he was trying to be almost too much of a nice guy, it seemed. But talking about how Brock was so disrespectful and everything like that. But this, I think he came across pretty well. He's earned some points with me here. That's a good little soundbite you got going there, Carwin. Yeah.
Carwin would say thank you.
You're welcome. That's what I would say.
Speaking of Carwin, hey, Derek, I saw Mini Carwin fight last night for the belt.
How'd he do?
He lost.
Oh,
but he looked Carwin-ish.
Carwin-esque.
Yes.
Oh, geez. Did Gamong fight last night?
Which one's Gamong?
The guy who totally eviscerated the other guy.
Oh,
the
no.
one I couldn't shut up about.
No. He didn't fight last night.
All right.
But maybe the guy missing an ear, Travis, he was one of the referees last night.
That can't be his real name. I'll say that to the...
all I know is his name is Travis, and he fights under Travis Travesty, and yeah.
Oh, Travis Travesty.
Yeah, and I found out through our friends at Fight Michigan that what had happened was he had had his ear bitten off, or mostly bitten off, in a street fight. And when he went into the hospital, they told him there was nothing they could do to save it, so they snipped the top of his ear off.
Nice.
So, yeah, whatever. Okay. Shine Fights announces Worlds Collide, Thomas versus Mayorga on May 15th.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
Uh-huh. The craziest man in boxing brings his unique brand of insanity to MMA. Some people call him El Matador. Others refer to him as the Madman from Managua. Sorry. Some use rougher language when talking
about yeah. Oh, boy.
Ricardo Antonio Mayorga Perez. But everyone agrees that Mayorga has achieved legendary status in boxing. Now, that would be enough for most athletes, but superstar status in their chosen sport. But not for the swashbuckling character from Nicaragua.
Swing into the ring on a rope.
Yeah, now the former WBA and WBC welterweight champion and ex-WBC junior middleweight king is out to conquer a second sport, mixed martial arts.
You know, there's... Of course, been like a lot of talk of people getting, like, I mean, you know, Ray Mercer obviously got an MMA knockout, Tim Sylvia 44 seconds, which is fantastic. And, you know, there's this talk about, you know, James Toney or whatever getting an MMA and, you know, wanting a contract with the UFC. This one, I think, is the most, and of course, there's the talk with, you know, Floyd Mayweather or whatever. This one, I think, is the most interesting of them all. Out of all of those scenarios, I think this one is the most interesting, and here's why. Number one, he's actually doing it as opposed to people like Tony and Floyd and whatever. Number two, most would say he's past his prime, but he's not that far from it. He's not that far removed from being one of the most legitimately dangerous welterweight boxers in the world. Mayorga's a scary, scary guy on the feet. And he's doing it, and he's not trying to go for a UFC or a Strikeforce contract. This is a fairly, you know, he's starting at not the bottom rung, but he's starting lower, and getting, you know, a real fight on a real card that, you know, and he's not posturing to get on Strikeforce or whatever.
Against a real
fight.
Which,
honestly, if, yeah, and Dean Thomas is a tough guy. This isn't, you know, who the hell? Who's the guy that just fought on Strikeforce? The football player.
Herschel Walker.
This isn't a Herschel Walker fighting some can. And Mayorga probably could have gotten a deal with Strikeforce if he wanted to push for it.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, you know, he's taken this fight against, like I said, Dean Thomas, who's a really, really, he's a very good fighter. Very good on the ground. He's going to give him a lot of problems if it gets there. I'm interested to see this, actually. I'm really interested. More so than I was for Walker, or that I will be for Tony, if that ever happens. This one's pretty interesting to me. Or Bobby Lashley, even, you know. This one's interesting to me. And if Mayorga works on some ground defense, it's going to be interesting to see what a really high-level boxer can do in the world of mixed martial arts. I mean, professional-level boxer.
Well, Mayorga was quoted as saying this. I conquered the world of boxing ring. All the while, I'm puffing cigarettes and drinking beer. Stated a boastful Mayorga, I won 3 world title belts. I stood toe-to-toe with so many legends, beating some of them. Vernon Forrest, God rest his soul, was a great boxer, yet I beat him twice. I cannot be denied, as I am a force of nature. I will shock the MMA fans, and I know so many of my fans from boxing will follow me as I expand my repertoire. They can't deny me in MMA, and I will destroy Dean Thomas. I'm going to smash him the way I smash the big superstars of boxing. For me, a fight in the ring, in the cage, or in the street, it's all a fight. Fighting is my middle name.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm going to be interested in, because Mayorga is a wild guy, and he's got a reputation for being a dirty fighter at times. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. This intrigues me. This really interests me. I'll be keeping a very, very close eye on this fight.
Which one? The left or the right eye? I was just curious.
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, all right. Well, you let me know when you find it out. Maybe we'll release that as big news.
Okay.
Scorcho keeps left eye on fight.
I don't want to commit right now.
Dana White on Gomi. Okay. Basically, he just says if Takanori Gomi can get past Kenny Florian and BJ Penn defeats Frankie Edgar, that he would consider putting Gomi and Penn in a title fight.
Not going to happen.
Well, see, people, you don't need to watch any more MMA. Because Scorcho has called it. It's not going to happen.
When is that fight night, Cardin?
Flash forward,
is that the
3
one?
Months later.
That's the 31st, huh? March 31st?
Is it March 31st? Yeah, I guess so. I don't have that right here, but yeah, I think it is. I thought it was the 21st, but I could be wrong.
No, the 21st is the versus card.
Right.
Okay. Jones is where John Jones is going to beat up Brandon Vera. That's another fight you don't have to see because I just told you what was going to happen.
Well, okay, here's something. This takes me a little out of my itinerary, but I decided to make things a little bit more interactive during the show. I wanted people to post things on Facebook, on our Facebook page, that they wanted us to talk about. One of the things that came up was how do we feel about Vera and John Jones? How do we see that fight going? Personally, I'm picking Jones by, I don't know, anal rape.
Anyway, he sees fit.
Yeah, anyway, he sees
anyway,
fit.
Anyway, at all.
No, this is traditionally when Derek Kenny chimes in.
I think Vera's going to win.
Time, I think is really dumb, but then he has a 50-50 chance of being right. So, Derek, how do you feel about this fight?
The only thing, the first thing I want to say is
your story has
really
become tiresome. Anyway, Scorcho, what do you think about this fight?
No, Kenny, what were you going to say?
Now, go ahead, Derek. I was just teasing.
No, I was, I like.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Damn it, Schumer.
Shut up, Rock.
I love how we just did that. Like, shut up, Rock. Like, no problem at all.
All right. I'm done. Seriously. Go ahead, man. I apologize.
No, I like John Jones a lot. He's a very good fighter. He's a very good striker. He's great at the ground. And he made Matt Hamill, who's an amazing wrestler, look stupid on the ground. You know, he's very athletic, and I think he is easily the future of MMA. That all being said, I don't think he's quite fought a striker of Vera's caliber on the feet. He's beaten some tough guys, but he hasn't fought anybody who has that kind of Muay Thai. I think that's the only X factor going against Jones. Other than that, I think Jones could very easily dominate Brandon Vera. I'm still actually proud. I'm going to pick Jones, actually, but I just don't want anyone to write off Vera's stand-up.
I wouldn't. But the one question I did have in regards to that is, if you're Brandon Vera, do you really want to tie up John Jones, watched him manhandle and throw people around? Do you really want to tie him up to try work in Muay Thai?
Here's the thing, and Derek makes an interesting point that, you know, that Jones hasn't fought a striker the caliber of Brandon Vera. The problem is I don't think Vera's style of stand-up suits well against John Jones. Vera tends to try and take control, press the action, come out more aggressive, at least if he can get away with it. John Jones is a whirling dervish of fists and feet, and he just plays the aggressive game much, much better than Vera. I think if there was somebody who was a counter-striker, like Keith Jardine, maybe. Somebody like, or Chuck Liddell, even. I think somebody like that would stand a better chance against Jones, because Jones is so aggressive, and he does come in wild at times, that somebody who is used to slipping in those counter punches could probably take advantage of that and put something on him that would really hurt him. Vera generally doesn't do that, though. He's not a counter puncher. He comes out more aggressive. But I think that's, you know, you're fighting John Jones' own game at that point, and Jones is better at it. And, you know, if this thing gets to the ground, despite the fact that, you know, Vera has some very good jiu-jitsu, I think Jones is going to really hurt him bad on the ground if this gets there. So this is kind of another situation where I don't see any area where he is better than Jones, you know, and who knows, Brandon Vera does always have the capability to kind of prove you wrong, but right. I don't think it's going to be the case. And I really think that once Jones wins this, it's going to be ladder to the top. He'll have one more fight, and then if he wins that one, he'll get the title shot, and he may win, because this guy's really good.
No. Don't mix up this. Jones is excellent. I think he might have to have at least two more fights, though.
I think this one and then a fight after that and then title.
Yeah, I would agree.
He'd only beat one guy who was ranked top 10 is all.
It doesn't matter. He's destroyed people. I mean, he's run right through them. People have gotten title shots for a lot less.
That's true.
If he beats Vera, they'll line up his next fight against maybe somebody like Rampage or Rashad. Really, really dangerous opponent. And if he gets past them, and especially if he does it impressively, it's going to be rocket right to the top, I think, you know.
I would actually I'd be more intrigued by, like, Jones and Forrest.
That actually was
Jones
the one I was thinking
Forrest
of.
Would be interesting, but Jones would beat him up pretty bad.
But Forrest is okay with getting beat up. That's the thing.
This is another case of, what's Forrest going to do to him to win? He's not going to outpoint him, because Jones is going to be flying at him 100 miles an hour the whole fight. Submission-wise, he could probably submit Jones, but he's got to get Jones on his back first, and Forrest's takedowns aren't all that great, whereas Jones's are, as we've seen with the Hamill fight, excellent. Forrest has never been really good off his back either. So that's another case of, I just don't see how Forrest is going to win that fight. And Forrest really doesn't have one punch knockout power, so he's not going to throw one and put him down.
Right.
So that's another one.
All right.
Like I said, I think Jones and Rashad would be really interesting. And I think Jones and Rampage would be really interesting.
Yeah.
So basically the winner of that fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you do the winner of that fight against the winner of this fight. I mean, actually, well, if Vera wins, I don't necessarily know if he should make a run for the belt, but I guess you could make the argument, sure. You know, Vera's a good fighter, and if he can get past Jones and then beat either Rashad or Rampage, then you could probably line him up, because, I mean, you know, You gotta put some new blood up there at some point.
Spocho, are you actually entertaining the thought that you might be wrong?
No, like I said, Vera's a good fighter, and he could.
I'm just.
Picking. He could very well, you know, pull this out because, you know, as impressive as Jones has looked, you know, he hasn't. I mean, Hamill's a very, very good opponent, and the fact that he destroyed him makes me think that he does seem like the real deal. But you know, it's very possible that Vera could prove us wrong. It's just the brain and Vera we've seen the past few fights has not been terribly impressive to me.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Moving on.
By the way, thank you, Jared, for that question. Okay, we were talking earlier about Brock Lesnar and Frank Mir. Brock Lesnar's camp has replied to Frank Mir's recent comments. Okay? And they hired a new spokesman to do it.
Okay.
All right. Here's what the spokesman
Paul Heyman.
No, here's what the spokesman said.
Sorry.
Frank Mir wants murder? Oh, yeah. The Beast is now even angrier than last time.
Paul Heyman?
So, I'm not doing Paul
Savage.
Heyman. Exactly. I'm not doing Paul Heyman. I can't do the New York accent. They said Frankie the Stalker Mir could use another beatdown, except this time it will be more vicious. The champion hopes Frank Mir will make it past Shane Carwin. Frank may never be able to fight again after their third fight is over. Expect the unexpected, Mr. Submission Man.
Did he really say Mr. Submission Man?
Swear to God.
Who the hell is this person? Why don't we have him on the show? We need him on the show immediately because he just called Frank Mir Mr. Submission Man. That is amazing.
Expect the unexpected, Mr. Submission Man. Yeah, you're a showboat.
The fact that Brock Lesnar's new, this isn't even like some random guy. This is his spokesman.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
This is from Fighters Only magazine. Just says you may leave without an arm. The big man's angry.
This guy's amazing. That's awesome.
I just got it done from feeding Brock Lesnar in his cell. He's very angry, Frank Mir. Training, we beat him over the head with steel chairs.
Man, you know, I kind of almost want to see Frank Mir beat Carwin so we can see how badly Brock's going to pummel. That would be bad.
I think he'll get past Carwin. I really do.
I don't know.
Yeah. I believe it. But
I think the thing is I think with his successive knockouts over Nog and Kongo, I think Frank Mir is going to greatly overestimate his stand-up ability. And, I think that's gonna be a bad idea against Shane Carwin.
Everybody's gonna plan until they get hit.
Well, that's exactly it. Well, the problem is Carwin has the possibility of you get hit and that's your night.
That's true.
Which
that's
he has
absolutely
done a couple times.
Yeah. Well, more than a couple. He hasn't gone three rounds in his whole career.
Like I said, it's funny that Shane Carwin hasn't had as much time in the ring as Brock Lesnar.
And
he's
exactly
fought eight more fights. You know, that's what I'm saying. I'm just, you know, one punch, it, you know, that, you know, if Frank Mir's game plan isn't to immediately get to the fight to the ground, then it could spell the end of the night for Frank Mir. If it gets there, I have no question in my mind that Mir is going to deal with him pretty well. But
actually, you know, something interesting here, I just noticed that I'm curious how much ring rest Shane Carwin's going to have. He hasn't fought since March 7th, 2009.
Yeah. Mm. That's a little over a year layoff. I think he's been keeping himself pretty sharp. You know,
I hope so.
I kind of struggle to think of a time where anybody really suffered from ring rust, quote unquote. You know, it's just, it seems like everybody kind of stays pretty well in shape. You know, and if somebody loses, it's just because they lost. It's not because, oh, I have ring rust. You know, I don't think that is really kind of as prevalent as it is in other ring-oriented sports.
Yes.
So there.
Okay. Speaking of suicidal idiots, Chael Sonnen says...
I'm sorry. Chael Sonnen said what?
Anderson Silva's afraid of him.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Sonnen talks Silva style versus what he thinks, and he thinks the champ is avoiding him due to his strong wrestling base. Yeah, because he's never faced a wrestler before.
Do you have the exact quote?
Okay, yeah, here it is. Says, I'm a lot better after my last fight. I was awfully sore. I was sore for a long time. I had a number of stitches. I finally have those out, and I seem to be healing pretty good. I got back into practice this week. For me, anything can change. The landscape changes all the time. But currently, if we were to ask Dana White what's going to happen, I'm going to take on the winner of Anderson versus Maia. So I'm on standby. Ideally, how long could I get? I'd love to see 3 months, in which I anticipate it will be closer to 5. If I had to get there, you know, I got that call. I get on a plane and do it as soon as Abu Dhabi happened. Mm-hmm. But that certainly wouldn't be ideal for me. Anderson, he's a tough puzzle to serve. If you you hit it on the head, nobody's even really come close. He's never fought a wrestler.
Dan Henderson!
Wait.
Travis Luter.
He's never fought... Well, Absolutely. Luter's not a great wrestler. He goes, he's never fought a wrestler, and I don't just mean he's never beat a wrestler. He's never fought one. Not in the small shows, not in the big shows. Not ever has he locked up with a wrestler. I've been challenging the guy for 3.5 years. I stuck my finger in the guy's chest, and he's fought everyone in the world not named Chael Sonnen. So there's something that he sees in my style that he is just flat staying away from. It's obvious he's looked good, but he's looked good because he's afraid to mix it up with a guy like me.
Okay, crazy Chael Sonnen.
Oh, and then he goes, and people tell me he's dangerous on his feet. He's not going to be anywhere near on his feet against me.
Okay. Well, at least he's not delusional and thinking he's going to stand with Anderson. Okay, here's the thing.
I love this. Okay, crazy Chael Sonnen.
Yeah, okay, crazy Chael Sonnen. I get it. You're a good wrestler. Are you a better wrestler than Dan Henderson? Probably.
Maybe.
But maybe. You didn't say he's never faced a wrestler like me. And he's a better, and he's obviously a better wrestler than Nate Marquardt. Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he made him look stupid.
Right.
Not doubting his skills at all. But it's like he's pretending that he never, ever fought that. He didn't say he hasn't fought a wrestler of my level.
Yeah, he said he never fought a wrestler,
it's like,
period.
And it's not just he never fought. It's not even that he just said he never fought a wrestler. He's like, never in the small shows, never in the big shows. Not that he's never beat a wrestler. He's never fought a wrestler. What? What is wrong with you? It's like, okay, I can understand that you want to say stuff to piss him off. Are you going to say stuff to piss all of us off, too? You better hope Dan Henderson doesn't come back to the UFC, because he's going to knock your head off.
Don't they train together?
It makes it even more puzzling.
Yeah, Chael's Team Quest, isn't he?
They train together.
They train together. Okay, so...
You spar with the guy, the wrestler. Dan Henderson still have a fall. I hope Dan Henderson beat him. Right. Fought a wrestler, huh? Pow, pow, pow. I really, really hope that happened.
You know what it is? It's probably Team Quest is just like, Chael's going crazy. We'll just let him say whatever. It's fine. Just let him go.
You've never fought a 6-foot purple octopus like me, Anderson.
No. You can't say like me. You have to speak in a total definitive.
You've never fought a 6-foot purple octopus. And I don't mean never beat a 6-foot purple octopus.
I mean, you never fought one.
Not in small shows, not in big shows. There's something about the style of a 6-foot purple octopus that just doesn't match up with Anderson Silva's game plan.
Oh,
what's
God.
Wrong with you? Yoshinokami, he fought him.
Yep. Well, yeah, that was a screwy fight in general.
Well, it was a screwy finish, but he fought Yushin Okami.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Lee Marquardt, Dan Henderson.
Moving on, Tim Sylvia versus Wes Sims moved to St. John, Canada.
Oh, they are doing that?
Yes.
I just heard somewhere that Sylvia's supposed to be fighting Mariusz Pudzianowski.
What?
Yeah.
I hope it
was confirmed.
If Marius has even the slightest amount of a jaw, he will rip Tim Sylvia in half.
Yeah. It says April 23rd.
Okay, well, this is a card.
The Boston Herald.
All right. I don't have that one. This says...
I may need to go see this.
It says the show must go on, and that's what will happen on June 5th in Canada when Tim Sylvia and Wes Sims will finally get their rematch. When did they fight before?
They fought in the UFC.
They didn't fight in the UFC.
No, that's right. They fought in a small card. That's right.
Okay.
I was thinking for some reason Sims and Mir.
After being denied a license to fight in Ohio, which, by the way, is Sims's home state and where he trains, Sims was unable to compete against Sylvia. Sylvia posted via Twitter that the Ohio Commission did not see Sims fit enough to fight Sylvia. So it's off to Canada, because they'll put on anybody. Anybody can fight in Canada. Harbor Station will play host to the greatest fighting talent ever assembled under one roof in Atlantic Canada this spring.
What?
Says a reporter touting.
Assembled under one roof in Atlantic Canada.
Yeah.
You got to kind of say those kind of squished together.
Exactly.
Assembled under one roof in Atlantic Canada.
The International Fighting Confederation's World Super Heavyweight title fight will be the main event.
Oh, that's a mouthful.
Of a 10-bout card coming up in Port City, tentatively scheduled for June 5th. Tim Sylvia, the former Ultimate Fighting Champion or Ultimate Fighting Championship heavyweight champion, will battle mixed martial artist, that's using the term loosely, Wes Sims for the IFC world title under the lights at Harbor Station.
Super Brawl 38 is when they fought, in case you're curious. That was in 2004.
Four.
Yeah. So Sylvia won that one.
Yeah, no kidding. At least this is somebody that Sylvia can beat.
Well, we said the same thing about Mercer. Yeah, it'll be
no,
Mercer.
I didn't say. I didn't even know about that damn fight until it happened.
Okay, what do we got here? UFC 115.
Actually, before we continue, just a little more on the Sylvia Pujanowski thing. It's supposed to take place in a card in Worcester, Massachusetts, April 23rd. Promoters Corey Fisher and Eric Butterbean Esch putting on the fight that will pit the former heavyweight champion against Marius Pujanowski. That will mark Pujanowski's U.S. debut. Other also signed on the card are UFC veterans Rich Clemente, Eve Edwards, and Houston Alexander. Oh boy, Houston getting around. And that's thanks to the Boston Herald for that little tidbit there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, moving on. Pujanowski, my God. All right, Miracle Crow Cop's next fight is rumored. Do you hear about this? I'm sure you
yes,
did.
Yes, I have. Dana White, baby. Mm-hmm. Dana hasn't said anything about that yet. I'm really surprised.
Nope. This is on tap for the UFC 115 in Vancouver. There's a lot of talk going around about Crow Cop facing off with Rothwell finally. Well, no, that's not going to happen because Ben Rothwell is fighting Gilbert Ivel.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
A strong contender. Against Sarah Intrigue for fight of the year that I could care less about.
What if you guys beat each other to death?
Yeah.
We right. might keep the other guy.
Completely okay with however this ends, because it means one of them won't be in the UFC anymore.
Well, here's the thing. The fight everyone was talking about was, you know, Crow Cop and Rothwell coming up because it was scheduled to happen. Then, you know, Rothwell got a tummy ache, so it couldn't happen.
Yep.
Now, Crow Cop, instead of fighting Rothwell, has got to fight Pat Barry, which is a much harder fight for him.
Much harder. Much harder than... But you know what? Crow Cop had a good an impressive performance. He should step up the ladder a little bit.
He did. He did. And Crow Cop apparently has been very tongue-in-cheek with the press lately. He's been more press-friendly and given more interviews and just overall not being such a sad sack. So... You know, hey, maybe this is the turn. Maybe he's found his smile, to put it in Shawn Michaels terms, and he's ready to go out there and whoop some ass. I hope so.
Well, you know, this isn't, you know, going to be an interesting fight. Perry's obviously a really dangerous kickboxer, but he is facing somebody who at least technically is probably a better stand-up artist than him. Barry may be stronger, mm-hmm. But he's not huge, so he actually matches up okay with Crow Cop's size. He's about 230, which is what Crow Cop came in.
Right.
And like I said, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, he did pretty well against Hardonk, although that fight was, you know, Hardonk isn't known for his ability to take a shot, and Crow Cop can, even when he loses, he'll usually take quite a beating before he goes down. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see how this fight's going to happen. I'm also interested to see this because Barry is, you know, obviously a kickboxer, so he's not going to be looking to take this fight to the ground, which means Mirko's probably going to open up with his kicks a little more than he did against this fight with, oh crap, what's the guy's name? The guy he just fought.
Dos Santos?
No, the Australian guy he just killed.
Oh, yeah. Corpse number three.
Anthony Parash.
Yes.
Parash. So, you know, he may open up with his kicks a little bit more.
Right.
This is an interesting fight. Barry looks really, really good. So this, I would definitely agree this is a much, much tougher fight for Krokop than Rothwell was. And like I said, it's good. Because if he could beat Barry here, that says something. Him pounding the crap out of Anthony Parash doesn't say anything. If he beats Pat Barry here, that says, hey, he could be on a real comeback here.
Right, right. Now, this is on the rumor. Like I said, this is the Vancouver or British Columbia card. UFC 115, just some of the other fights. And these fights have all been verbally agreed to, but the UFC has not made them official yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is the card we'll have... And again, this is from our good friends at MMA Junkie, where they said, this card will host the third and hopefully final bout between Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz.
Say hopefully final.
Yeah, it does. It actually says awesome. Hopefully final bout. Yoshihiro Akiyama and Vanderlei Silva.
Sexyama.
Krokop and Barry, Rothwell and Yival. Evan Dunham and Tyson Griffin. Carlos Condit and Rory McDonald. Jesse Lennox and Mike Pyle, and Peter Sabata versus James Wilkes. So there.
You know, what is it with Krokop in the U.S.? Why can't he get a fight in the U.S.? I'm really interested. I want to know that.
Because he hates Americans.
You know,
he hates America, and he wants us all to die. We're the great American Satan. That's what he said.
Like I said, no, I'm seriously curious if there's a... If there's some sort of deal where he can't enter the U.S. for some reason, that's kind of weird. It's just he doesn't want to deal with the customs issues. That could be
that, that could be, but I mean, is he still a member of parliament? Do we know?
Croatian parliament? I don't think he is anymore.
I would say if he was, then he would have diplomatic
immunity. Yeah, he could just go wherever he wanted.
Come over here and kill somebody.
Eddie he Sanchez. Really
could. He could just find Eddie Sanchez and say, "Now we finish this."
Eddie Sanchez, like in his bathroom, a cup of coffee, and can't open his door.
Krokop's there, just kicks him in the face. Bam! Run! Run from that bitch!
Mirko, can I get you some coal? Right. Why are you hitting me? What is wrong with you?
You must be destroyed.
You must be just trying to break you. Okay, Colt Miller injured. There's an updated card for Fight Night 21. Blake was supposed to be on today to talk to us about Cole because they're like best friends and they train together constantly. I'm curious. I hadn't really heard what his injury was. I still haven't. But anyway, here's the card as they have it now. Kenny Florian will be taking on Takanori Gomi. Roy Nelson will be endeavoring to beat Stefan Struve. Nate Rock Corey will be against El Conquistador, Jorge Rivera.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
You're drinking, buddy.
Yeah, my drinking buddy, but I'm going with Nate. I think Nate's going to win that one. Ross Peterson will be taking on Dennis Seaver. And just to throw out some names on the undercard, Jacob Volkman, Kyle Uno, Gleison Tabao, Yushin Okami. And a host of others. But it's going to be a good card. I'm actually more psyched about that card than I am about that 115 I just read off. And this one's on free TV. So that being said, let me double check here. I think that's really all I care to report on today. Yapple dapple.
Oh, yay. All right.
I have Strikeforce results, but I don't care.
I have Strikeforce results, and I don't care. I have Strikeforce results, and I don't care.
Okay.
Isn't there a card we're supposed to cover?
What? I'm looking up Yoshihiro Akiyama's profile.
Well, you do that because it makes fascinating radio.
I knew there was a reason I didn't like the guy. I'm sorry.
Oh, we got another question on our Facebook while we're killing time. Derek, I'll ask this one of you. Fedor versus Overeem. WTF. It says Overeem. He has 0.0005% chance of winning. Agree or disagree?
Maybe less.
No.
Exactly.
Not That's less than generous. That, I don't think. I don't think he has a great chance of winning, but, you know, if Brett Rogers can put Fedor on his back and get him in a little bit of trouble, Overeem could definitely be a threat, but it's not. Maybe 10%, I'll say, for Overeem.
It's got to happen first is the problem.
That's true. I say 0.0005% chance that they actually ever freaking fight.
Overeem actually. I will fight.
In 2012.
As soon as my cycle ends.
retires, I want that fight.
Holy crap. All right.
By the way, for those of you who are friends on Facebook, there are over 705 of you. Be sure to check out, I got pictures up on our Facebook page of the Ground and Pound event last night. Once again, just couldn't say enough nice things about these guys. They put on a really good quality show. The house was packed. I mean, thousands of people. No kidding. It was awesome.
Wow. That's a hell of a turnout.
I've got some notes here. First note is Scorcho sucks.
Okay.
That was from Mr. Brooks.
Oh, thank you.
second note is Mr. Brooks was paying $4 per beer.
Okay.
Which wasn't really a bad deal. And all that money, by the way, goes to the Ellison Foundation, which is a very worthy cause. my note is Kenny's a pussy.
Uh-huh. Thanks.
See, this all started before we actually got to the fights.
Were you drinking beforehand?
No, I don't. I'm not a big drinker, man. I wasn't drinking at all. I just normally tell Derek that, you know, he's a pussy.
Fuck you too, nice. Shooter.
Nice language on you there, sizzle nipples. Okay. The fights were pretty quality. Only two fights went to, like, the duration, went to a decision.
The distance.
Only two fights. The rest, by and large, ended in the first round. A couple early stoppages. They had a team of four different referees on this particular card of varying degrees. And they all did a pretty good job, to be perfectly honest. I thought it wasn't too bad. Some of the stoppages were a little bit quick, but again, you know, unless you're actually in there doing it, you're never going to know if that's the right call or not.
Yep.
a lot of green talent on this, I will say. The experience was not what I was normally seeing from ground and pound stuff. But again, you know what? New fighters got to fight somewhere sometime.
True.
Yep.
So, and everybody gave it their best. There were some very entertaining bouts. Both title fights were good. This is the fastest 17 fights I've ever seen. I mean, it was
that
fast.
Last time was pretty quick, too.
Oh, this was over before 11.
Dang!
Yeah, I mean, they just...
What time did it start?
7:30? 8? Yeah, 7:30, I guess.
You know, that's not uncommon, though, because I've watched a lot of, like, lower-level boxing fights, too, and those always produce some really spectacular knockouts, because it's really at the point where you can't, as a matchmaker, like, put people against people like of an equal skill level really at that point, because you just don't know. You know, if you're putting a guy who has one fight against a guy who has two fights, you still don't know how good those guys are. You know, Anderson Silva, when he had one fight, nobody knew he was going to be freaking Anderson Silva. You know, yeah. You don't know it at that point. So that opens a lot of opportunity for like one guy who has a lot of potential to one guy who's going to be out of the, you know, game in a year to fight against each other. And, you know, it leads to one guy getting creamed. So that actually is fairly common in smaller level promotions, both in MMA and boxing.
There was one guy I do want to mention. He was a heavyweight, came in good shape. His name was Joe Ryan. It was his first fight last night. Apparently, from what I understand, I was talking to Tom Burge, who kind of runs the show over there for Paul Simpson at Ground and Pound. This guy has been training 2 weeks. Like, seriously training, you know, working for this event. And he went out there, and he threw the stiffest leg kick I've ever seen. Just crack! And jumped in and pounced on this guy with the fast... I mean, think Vitor Belfort hand speed. And this guy was big. He was easily a very, very big guy, built like, you know, a brick shit house. And he just went out there and laid waste to his opponent. Totally one-sided. He's somebody out of that card I would definitely keep an eye on. But yeah, just once again, Paul and Tom, many thanks. We'll be back, if you guys are listening to this, in Greenville this week. Ground and Pound's got another card. Three title fights on the card, I believe. Derek will be there. And in spite of that, you can still come and see me, because I'll be there. And, definitely, if you're going to be there, be sure to hit us up on Facebook or on MySpace and let us know. And we'll come hang out with you, and you can buy us beers and stuff, tell us how great we are and all that good stuff. But Ground and Pop Promotions, excellent show, good quality, and we expect a lot bigger things from them. So, there.
Speaking of excellent shows of good quality, WEC 47 Bulls versus Crews taking place at the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio, March 6, 2010.
Booyah.
Starting at the bottom of the list and working our way up, Courtney Buck taking on Fredson Pajau.
Buck.
Or as Kenny would put it, Fredson Pajau.
Yeah, I think Pajau is probably going to win that one.
Pajau?
No, Pajau.
Pajau. I don't know who this Pajau person is.
But... Well, no, the XAO is pronounced Zhao.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. Is that right? I didn't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Kenny's had a couple good ones today. I got to say, you know, we joked about him never being on this game. I think he's on the ball today. Hasn't screwed up too many enunciations. Had a funny thing with the Crow Cop and Sanchez one with the coffee thing. You know, I got to say, Kenny, I think we're finally seeing some improvement in you.
Yeah.
Finally, it only took 6 months.
That's right. Some people are slower to develop than others.
All right. Next one. Or are you guys going to pick that one or the rest
of them? I'm going with Pajau as well.
Okay.
Next up is Bendy Kazmir. That's an awesome name. Versus Ricardo Lamas.
What?
That's what I said. Ricardo Lamas.
Okay.
Bendy Kazmir. That's what it says. That's the guy's name.
I'm looking at it too, okay?
What do you want?
Lamas. I'll take Lamas.
I'll take Lamas, sure. Is he related to Lorenzo Lamas, you think?
I was going to say, you're thinking of Lorenzo Lamas?
At first I was, yes.
I was like, what? He's fighting now too? What the hell's he making 135? Sorry, 155. So you're going with...
I'm going Lamas, so it's Derek.
Yeah, I think I'm going to Lamas too. Bendy, that's an awesome name though. Oh, Bendy's got some ground game too. Whoa, dip. I'm going Lamas still. I don't care. Sorry, Bendy. Chad Mendes taking on Eric Koch.
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 Wow. Yeah. Ooh, I don't know. Let's see.
I'm always saying this so I don't get harassed on Facebook by Koch's training guys at Valhalla. They're all friends of mine on Facebook, and if I don't vote for him, they give me a hard time. So.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, I know. Way to stick to my guns. Huh.
Yeah. Tough guy. I'm going to go with Chad Mendes. So they harass you anyways.
Yeah. What the hell's your partner's problem, man? He sucks. Okay.
Leonard Garcia taking on George Roopy Roop.
I'm going Garcia.
I gotta go Garcia too. I like Roop a lot, though.
Do you? Is it his eyes that you like the most?
What?
What? Yeah. I'm gonna go with Garcia as well. I don't think Roop has the wrestling ability to keep Garcia down on the ground for too long. Danny Castillo taking on Anthony Pettis. Pettis.
Kenny. Pettis.
There you go.
Castillo.
Both coming off of losses. Although Castillo has a better record. Actually, no. Yeah, slightly better record. I'll go with Castillo. Actually, he doesn't have the right record at all. He's 8-2. I'm still going with him. Yeah. Good to see I've done my research for this show. Scott Jorgensen taking on Chad George.
Jorgensen.
If I could have said it at the same time, I would have. Scott Jorgensen. And then hopefully we'll
this will lead to a title fight for him. I think so. Well, yeah.
He's got to be close by now. He's doing really well.
He's running through a lot of people, a lot of really good guys. Okay. Jens Pulver versus Javier Vasquez.
Pulver.
Oh, man. I really want Jens to win. And I think Jens took the necessary steps to win this fight. He's kind of ostracized himself from his family. He, for the first time since he's been married, he did not bring his wife and his son Carson along on this little trip. He said she puts him in too good of a state of mind and he can't concentrate on fighting. And I give him major props for that. However, I don't see him winning this fight. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to say it because I want him to win so bad. And Jens, if you're listening, I want you to prove me wrong, buddy. Definitely go out there and make me look like an asshole. I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah. Okay, let's break this down a little bit. Pulver is obviously an excellent fighter. However, you can't ignore the 6 out of 7 of his last fights have been losses. Mm-hmm. 3 of those have been submissions. I don't know, though. I don't know if Vasquez has the chops to put enough aggression on Pulver to pull it off. He hasn't been knocked out before, so that bodes well for Vasquez.
Mm-hmm.
And Pulver has had a weaker ground game, but like you said, he has gotten motivated.
Right.
The last time we saw Pulver get really motivated to the point of being mean was against Cub Swanson.
Yeah.
And he almost ripped his head off in 35 seconds with an uncharacteristic submission.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use that as my basis to say I think Pulver is going to win this one by an early KO.
I
think
hope so.
Pulver has done the preparation that we've talked to him about and that he's posted, you know, on all of the social media networks that he's on about of separating himself from the good things in his life so he can really focus on working and if he's building up some sort of anger and resentment. And I believe that a man coming off of six out of his last 7 being losses doesn't have to reach all that far to get angry, to be completely honest with you. I think he's going to come out with some bad intentions just like he did in the Cub fight. And I think he's going to put out Vasquez, and I think he's going to do it in impressive fashion.
All right.
That's all I got to say about that.
Okay, Forrest.
Bart Pelajewski taking on Karan Darbedian.
I'm going Pelajewski. Although this is going to be a good fight.
Yeah. I got it with Karan. Man, he looked excellent in his fight against McCullough, man. I got to go Karan.
Yeah, I'm going Karan here as well.
Is it pronounced Karan?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's Karan. You could try calling him Karan, though. See how that
works for you. Yeah, let us know how that works out for you, pal.
Yeah.
Hey, Karan, how's it going? Ah, my fucking jaw!
Actually, no, this is Karan Darbedian you were talking about. Hey, Karan, how's it going? Ow. Hey, stop that. Ow. Hey, come on.
What are you doing? Stop, not, stop that.
15 minutes and then he beats you on points. I'll go with Karan here as well.
Oh, God.
Karan did look pretty impressive in his last fight. Pelajewski has been hit or miss as of late. Although Pelajewski has a ton of experience. So, mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't know. Because he's in the Jeff Curran school of fighting every 2 weeks, so I don't know. I'm going to go on Karan here. Okay, Miguel Torres versus Joseph Benavidez.
Benavidez is a very tough fighter. Good skills. And under almost any situation, I would say Benavidez is going to win this fight, but not against Torres. I think Torres coming off a loss is definitely looking to quickly leap back into the title picture. And, you know, we're talking about a guy who we were all crowing about being one of the pound-for-pound greatest fighters in the world until his loss. Oh, no, he definitely still is, without a doubt. I'm just saying. I think Benavidez is going to take it to him. This is such a great fight. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Kenny?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I like Joseph Benavidez. He's a good fighter. He's a very, very good fighter. But Miguel Torres is on another level altogether. I've only seen him fight angry a few times. But when I see Miguel Torres fight angry, he's mean. He's in your face. He's throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at you. And his ground game is nasty. Miguel Torres is, in my opinion, is still top five in the world. Easy.
Yes, we know. There was a lot of controversy over that.
Yeah. We can stir that up another day. But Miguel Torres, easy.
Well, Shooter, much like you, had to pick Koch because of the ramifications of your circle of friends. My fiance is sitting right behind me, and if I do not pick Miguel Torres, she will hit me.
Ah. Okay.
That being said, I still think Torres is going to win. Uriah's little buddy is a really good fighter, but he hasn't, you know, I mean, obviously the win over Hani Aya and the win over Curran are both impressive, but other than that, he hasn't really fought a who's who, whereas Torres has fought a hell of a lot of dangerous people and almost always done very, very well against them. Like Kenny says, I think Torres is going to come out aggressive, put Benavidez on the back foot, and just, I don't know if he'll necessarily finish Benavidez, but I think he's going to grind him pretty hard for 15 minutes and get a solid unanimous decision.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
Yeah.
And our main event of the evening, Brian Bowles, the WEC Bantamweight champion, taking on Dominic Cruz.
Somebody else go first. I always go first.
Kenny.
This one's tough.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that fight. Before we get that one, Davidas Torres-Avicius taking on LC Davis. Thanks for reminding me, Kenny.
Torres-Avicius.
Kenny, who's going to win?
I like Davis, actually. Davis.
Yeah, right.
I like LC.
I think LC Davis will grind him out for 15
in
minutes.
His whole name versus 28 letters in his last name.
It's too hard.
I pick LC Davis by literacy.
I can say his name.
Okay, so do you really think Davis is going to win?
Yeah, no, seriously, I do think LC Davis is going to win. I think he's going to grind him out. I really do. Davidas didn't look really good in his last fight, which again was like you mentioned earlier, it was only a month ago. He looked excellent, but I have faith. I think Davis is going to grind him out. He's a great athlete, so yeah.
Shooter. I don't pay attention to what you say.
Yeah,
I'm going towards Davidas here. Torres-Avicius looked great, and if he puts on a show like he did last time, he could really, we could really see this guy move up the ladder.
Word.
And now, Brian Bowles versus Dominic Cruz. Kenny?
Again, like I was about to say, this one's going to be tough. Cruz has looked awesome since coming down to 135, and he didn't look bad at 145 either. His only loss was to Uriah, who at the time was the behemoth of the 145 division, couldn't be stopped. And since coming to 135, he's looked spectacular. Brian Bowles has looked terrific as well, beating some very tough guys. In obviously Miguel Torres is one of them, and Demasio Page was another really big win.
Demasio?
I was waiting for it. I was like, come on, Kenny, say it. Say it.
Demasio Page.
Demasio!
Anyway. But I got to give the edge to the champion right now. I really think Brian Bowles is will pull out this win. Not to say that I wouldn't be surprised if Cruz won this fight. This is going to be really good. So.
Yeah.
I think Miguel Angel Torres is going to win this fight.
Yeah, I don't know. Cruz is a good fighter. The biggest issue I see is that half of his wins have gone the distance. I think surviving 15 minutes with a striker the caliber of Bowles is tough. I think surviving 25 minutes with a striker the caliber of Bowles is next to impossible. And his ground game ain't all that great. He's only got one submission victory. Bowles is, Bowles has, very dangerous hands, and he's very, very good on the ground as well. So this is going to be a really, really tough fight for Cruz. I don't know how he's going to win it. Unless, he can manage to outpoint Bowles, but I just don't see that happening. I'm going Bowles here, hopefully setting up the Torres rematch.
I agree. I'm going Bowles. No doubt about it.
Okay, so, I just alluded to it. Do you think that Torres and Bowles will be the next fight after this if both those guys win?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't think that they're going to make Torres have another fight or anything?
No.
Yeah,
when,
I don't.
When
think
you're
so
that good, you don't get. You
yeah,
get a pass.
They didn't. They didn't make Uriah fight twice. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would agree with that, and I can't wait to see that one. That'll be interesting. Word. So. All right then. I guess that'll do it.
Sweet. Do we have any other news? Anything else anyone want to talk about?
Pro Elite is coming from the ashes. God, I hope I'm wrong.
Nah, I'm not.
Say that.
I'm wrong.
I don't.
I'm actually indifferent, man. If they come back,
The more fights I get to see in the span of a month, the better. I'm sorry, And if another organization rises up, or Elite XC or Pro Elite or whatever comes up from the ashes, then hey, super. That means I get to see more MMA. We'll see. Other than that, I don't think so. I think we covered everything there is to cover. I guess other than the Barnett thing of being turned down fights with Antonio Silva and Tim Sylvia. So, which is interesting. I don't know if people are, if fighters are trying to collectively blackball Barnett or what. And, it's kind of funny because if they are trying to blackball Barnett because, he keeps testing positive for roids or whatever, it's kind of funny that two guys who have previously been banged for roids are the ones turning him down. I don't know.
Maybe they just don't want to fight him because he's a gigantic tool.
Or because he would beat both of them probably pretty easily.
Maybe.
No.
I mean, I'm not doubting he would beat them. I mean, maybe that's the reason.
Oh, yes. Tim Sylvia is not going to fight Barnett because Barnett's a big tool.
No, I mean, he would easily smash Sylvia. I think Bigfoot would be a slightly tougher fight for him. Not terribly tough.
Yeah, he would be slightly tougher, but Barnett would still win. I think. I hope. I don't know. Honestly, Barnett's been laid off for so damn long. Who knows? Maybe he's crap now. we'll never know. We won't know until he gets back in the ring, and unfortunately, it's looking like that may not happen for a long while. He's got nobody to blame but himself.
Yep.
He did it to himself,
Single-handedly brought down Affliction. No, not really.
Oh, shit. I don't care what anybody says. Anybody can blame Barnett all they want for killing Affliction, but he didn't kill Affliction.
No,
bad money management killed Affliction.
I just think
that if, Brock Lesnar tested positive for steroids the night before a UFC pay-per-view, do you think that would kill the company? No.
Hell no.
So.
Because Dana would hide that shit.
Here's a grand. You didn't see nothing.
Exactly. It would come out after the fight, so at least the fight would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That is kind of funny how that's never happened in the UFC where maybe in a lower level it's happened where somebody's tested positive beforehand, but I can't think of it.
No.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. That's a little brisk show. We're keeping it under 90 minutes this time. That's nice.
Thank God.
What, do you not enjoy our company, Kenny?
No, I love your guys' company. I just I can't stay focused for 90 minutes. It's too long. I'm going to withdrawals
here. I can't take it.
I need my fix.
All right. Then I guess it's going to do it for us this week. I'll play a little outro music here. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to head on over to RearNakedRadio.net. Check out some archives of past shows. Maybe we'll have some articles up this week. Who the hell knows? Be sure to check us out on Facebook. Any questions, comments, or hate mail, send it to ringsofman@gmail.com. Crescendo for the music building up. I'm Scorcho. That's Shooter. That's Kenny. Thanks for joining us. See y'all next week.
Looking for something to represent your sport, but you don't want to look like another mall rat wannabe? Then head on over to TapperSleep.com. TapperSleep has serious gear for serious fighters and serious fans. While other fightwear companies spend their money on a big bust and funny costumes, TapperSleep spends theirs on their clothes, giving you stylish, durable gear that'll hold up under the toughest conditions. Whether you're rolling on the mats or rolling down the street, TapperSleep has a wide selection of t-shirts, hoodies, and hats for men or women. So head on over to TapperSleep.com right now and get your gear today. TapperSleep. Seriously. Good. Fight with.